Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 83 of Histories of the Unexpected, the show in which we demonstrate how everything, and absolutely everything we mean, even the most unexpected of subjects, has a history, like flight, print, or punk,
or stone. I'm going to tell you all about that later on. We'll be following the links in our minds as we come across them, explaining how those histories link together in unexpected ways. Who knew? Who knew, for example, Sam, who knew that accidents is in fact all about the history of childhood, summertime, and historical causation?
Oh.
Think about those accidents in the past that have led to a chain of events.
That's all about
Henry VIII falling off a horse, for example.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Or that the history of bells
is
about the Nazis, it's about social control, and it's about the Reformation.
And propaganda. Don't forget that.
Propaganda as well.
The man sitting opposite me is the Napoleon of not now. It's Professor Extraordinaire of Early Modern British History at Plymouth University. It's James Daybell. Hello, James.
Hello, Sam. I think that is actually one of the best.
Thank you.
Come up with for ages. The man sitting opposite me is the gladiator of great deeds done.
That's good as well.
It is the famous historical adventurer, Dr. Sam Willis.
Now, each week we take it in turns to come up with a theme and to discuss it. This week we're doing something slightly differently. We are doing a summer brainstorm.
A little catch-up,
what we're doing, and also coming up with new ideas. So
yes.
If you're listening to this, do hit us up on Twitter at UnexpectedPod and come up with your own ideas.
People have been coming up with things over the last few months. We've had soap. We've had somebody tweeted us today.
Soap's brilliant. Soap's all about animals.
Parp. Two parps. I didn't quite get it, but we'll look into that. Two parps. Biscuits.
Or
sandbag and the lamp,
okay.
I remember.
Yeah.
We've had all sorts of coffee.
Switching?
Yeah.
Switches and switching.
I want to do stone. So I was at Powderham Castle last night, where we are doing University of Plymouth and the University of Pennsylvania. Cornerstone Heritage and Penn Design have a big project looking at the history of Powderham Castle as it transforms from a medieval castle into an 18th century prodigy house. And we had Stuart last night. Stuart is an archaeologist who came along to tell us about Devon Stone.
Right.
It was extraordinary. What this man does not know about stone is not worth knowing.
Mm.
He could look at a building and he could spot all the different stones and then date them and say, this came from here, this came from there. So he gave us this blinding lecture.
It's quite granity, isn't it, Powderham?
It's granite
from Dartmoor.
It's all sorts of things.
Oh, okay.
It's all sorts of things. So we had this lecture for about an hour. I turned up late, so I missed the first half. But it was very stony.
Okay.
And then afterwards, we did a tour round the outside of the castle. And this guy just basically said, this, and this. And he sort of was able to spot all the different types of stone. So we should do something on stone.
Yeah, I'm interested in breaking stones. When I was in China recently, it was a very, very early, it's near Chengdu. I'm really talking off the top of my head now. An amazing river system. And they needed to stop the river system flooding the area, which became one of the most important areas for agricultural growth in China.
Right.
And they did. They diverted the river to stop it flooding. But they had to do it by basically creating a valley through a mountain. And so they were breaking rocks 2,000 years ago, heat and water. Interesting ways of doing it, and drilling as well. I did a bit of drilling. So breaking stones, an interesting carving in stone, I'm always
throwing
fascinated
stones
by.
At people. Stoning people.
Stoning people's cool, isn't it? Actually, weapons.
Well, it's stones cool. Weapons. Not cool, but interesting. I wouldn't say it's cool.
No, a cool historical subject.
Yes. An intriguing subject.
Yeah.
Carving, sculpture,
carving,
buildings.
Sculpture. There are some amazing reliefs of ships. Somewhere near the Red Sea, and I was reading an article recently about someone who believed that they were Viking ships.
Ooh.
And for a while there was some kind of belief that these were, they almost look like kind of water boatmen. They're oval in shape with bits sticking out, which were the oars. And everyone accepts that they're ships, but there's a bit of a debate about whether they're Viking ships or not. We know the Vikings did go...
did have ships.
We know the Vikings had ships. Thank you, Sam Willis, historian.
Several different types
of ships. And that they explored, but we don't necessarily think they actually managed to get that far and to portage their ships, to carry their ships from the Mediterranean to the Red Sea.
Right. I'm getting all excited about Vikings at the moment.
I'm getting excited about Vikings. And that they're great for stone because of the runestones, carving, so much stuff. Slate's really important with Viking studies. We've got some wonderful sort of early graffiti of Viking attacks in Ireland, monasteries in Ireland. Okay, I'll do stone.
Okay. Fragments you were talking about. No, scraps.
Scraps.
I think that's brilliant. So scraps could be about scrapbooking. So it's about memory. It's about...
Yeah. So that's also a deliberate scrap.
That's fragments that are left, like we did Oxyrhynchus and the papyri
about this?
Project. Do you remember when we looked at rubbish and the scraps of fragments of papyri that survived in that...
There are millions of them, aren't there?
Yeah, in the ancient rubbish. So also scraps of information.
So the scrap that I came across was, I'm going to talk about Blackbeard again. I seem to always talk about Blackbeard. But in excavating this ship, which they think might have been Blackbeard's flagship, the Queen Anne's Revenge, they found a scrap of a book inside one of the cannons. So they're raising bits of stuff from the wreck site, and they took a cannon, and inside the cannon's muzzle was a scrap of a book, which is really exciting because that tells us what they might have been reading. Or not, because they were throwing it away and using it to fire out of cannons.
Yes.
So,
but nonetheless, before that,
the book came from a book by a guy called Edward Cook, and from 1712, and it was called A Voyage to the South Sea and Round the World, performed in the years 1708, 1709, 1710, and 1711. So it's one of these early English voyage narratives describing his adventures on an expedition that was made by two ships, the Duke and the Duchess, which sailed from Bristol in 1708. The expedition leader was a guy called Captain Woodes Rogers, who was very famous for capturing pirates, actually, in the Caribbean. So anyway, it gives us a sense of just this tiny scrap, gives us a sense of what Blackbeard and his men might have been reading. I think that's great.
I think that's fantastic.
That's got to be up your street as well as a historian.
Totally up my street. Totally up my street. I think we should also do shoes. I think that would be another brilliant.
Okay.
Or the history of doors.
Doors are great.
Soup. We've wanted to do soup.
Yeah, and we were gonna let's do that next because we were gonna cook and do soup at the same time. What's soup about?
Soup is about bathing, isn't it?
It is.
Bathing in soup. Yeah. Bathing in a pea souper as well. I also want to do candles.
Okay.
But I think candles are quite. I mean, it's not just about
candle making. I'm fascinated.
Candle making.
Yeah.
I bought my wife a little candle making set for Christmas.
Really?
Like a little beeswax.
Okay.
Candle, and you sort of roll it all up.
Because who controlled the candles controlled the light, and who controlled the light was in a very powerful position. We could do the history of light, and more broadly, the history of the Enlightenment. But it's to do with political and social control. If you think about...
Ooh, nice.
So at the moment, you flick a switch, you turn it on, but you couldn't do that before. And wandering around with your candles,
Who does it? It actually was the tallow chandlers.
No, it's about murder.
Is it?
Candlesticks.
Mm. Oh, of course it is. Mm, and darkness.
If you have a
really
look,
about
if you
murder.
Have a look in Old Bailey Online,
yeah.
And you just put in Old Bailey Online is a superb resource. There's all the Old Bailey documents. So you just type in candlestick, and the number of murders with candlesticks is quite phenomenal. But it's also about it's about religion. So ritual, religious candles. It's about candle clocks. It's about life.
Yeah.
The tallow chandlers, it's about electricity, it's about Christmas trees.
The religion thing's important. It's to do with ritual. It appears yes. in ritual a lot. There's yep. a lot of light of lighting of flames, lighting of candles, and also dousing them, putting them out.
Yes, mm. lighting and candles and bells.
I bet there's a lot of material culture associated with candles. The,
yes.
The little kind of hat things.
And yes.
You put them on top and it fizzes out.
Keys. Keys are about locks, privacy, power. So who has the key?
Yeah, who is the key holder?
Who's the key? The key to unlock your heart. Keys and as in the key of the city.
Yes.
So it was just about status. Harry Houdini, great escape artist. Throwing away the key.
Yeah.
It's about prisons, keys in heraldry. You know, there are all sorts of things that we could do with that.
I like that. Well, I don't know much about early privacy.
No. I think
it's probably to do with boxes as well, isn't it?
It's to do with yeah, boxes and keeping things. So if we have a look at it, back to our Vikings,
yeah.
Some of the artifacts that survive from the archaeological record are early keys and locks, which gives you a sense of a society that wanted to keep things locked, keep things private.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go Facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.
Yeah. Mountains.
Oh, I love mountains.
Yeah.
Mountains are all about freedom.
Mm-hmm. So, well, the principle there is that people live in the mountains and the police can't get at them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're cut off. They're away from communication systems.
Yeah, away from authority.
Exactly.
So there are all sorts of wonderful periods in history where large areas of easily accessible land are controlled, whether it's by the Romans or the Greeks or Napoleon or whatever it is, but not so up in the wilderness and the mountains.
I know. I couldn't have put it better myself.
Oh, thank you.
It's yes, superb.
Language as well.
Language.
This whole kind of like removal from mainstream society.
Yep.
So you have these fascinating tiny communities which sort of develop on their own and have a sort of unique way of life. I have just climbed up a mountain in about 2 hours south east of Beijing called Mount Tai. It's a sacred mountain. So emperors used to go up there. 7,000 steps. It's been stepped, not paved. It's been stepped. There are steps.
7,000
from the. I could barely
How
walk
many miles
at the
is
top.
That?
I'm not sure. It took 6 hours.
Oh,
you can do it. We were filming all the way up. You can do it in 2 hours. What was really interesting is the sort
you
of
kept
the,
running out of film.
I had to go back to the bottom, pick it up. When we arrived, there were loads of people selling walking sticks, and I was like, oh, I'm barely 40. I don't need a walking stick. I'd have paid £1,000 for a walking stick. By the time I could not I move. Bet.
Oh my god! And anyway, you are quite fit.
Quite fit. So anyway, sacred mountain, really interesting. There are other sacred mountains all over the world.
Excellent. Yeah. Newspapers. I'll pop in my new newspapers. Ooh. Not just about news and politics and reading, and but also about homelessness. Living in America for a while, I was struck by the disparity between rich and poor, and a lot of people in the winter on the streets, and the importance of newspaper as padding.
As an insulator.
As an insulator. And if you read George Orwell's Down and Out in London and Paris, there are all sorts of papers used in all sorts of ways. Boris, the character Boris, stuffs his shoes with newspaper, for example. Yeah, so fascinating.
Shame. I want to see the history of shame.
Ooh, that is good.
I sense it's going to be very Victorian. I think they got a bit buttoned up there.
I think there are lots of people who are shameful.
Shameless. I think that'd be a fascinating one.
I think that thing makes me think also about feathers. Feathers is about shame.
Why?
As well. So the white feather, the feather of cowardice. So the people who are shamed into not go, shamed because they do not go to war.
Mm. Oh, okay. So and being tarred and feathered as well.
And being tarred and feathered. So it's about tarring and feathering.
They are shamed in public and covered in feathers. So tarring and feathers, briefly, it's a public ritual of humiliation, and you have hot, and it will damn nearly kills you as well.
Yes.
You have hot tar poured all over you, and then you're covered
in feathers. And then you are covered in feathers.
So you're essentially turned into a bird, into an animal.
Yes. And then it's awful. Mm. And it's also about literacy and quill pens, and it's about Native American history. Mm-hmm. So it's about ritual and culture and Native American headdresses.
What about pain? Could you do the history of pain?
I'm a coward. I don't like pain.
No.
I don't like pain.
Could you talk about it, though?
Can I talk
about it? We can talk about the history of pain.
I quite probably could. I mean, you could talk about that in really interesting way, different kinds of pain, sort of emotional pain. You could talk about torture, somebody's ability to endure pain.
Yeah.
You'd talk about pain and childbirth. You could talk about pain relief, a history of pain relief. I think that would be... That would be fascinating. It brings me back to an NCT class. So this is childbirthing in class, very sort of, you know, British middle class thing to do. But I remember one session was about pain management, and they got the entire class to stand up, and you had this sort of spectrum of what you would do. And if you went on that wall, it was natural childbirth, and if you went to the opposite wall, it was drugs. Almost the entire class moved to the drugs wall, except this one poor woman who was sort of stuck alone by herself, wanting this sort of beautiful natural childbirth in a bath at home.
Yeah. Well, childbirth is obviously a fascinating history, and we've talked a few times about this early document on midwifery.
Yes. Mm. But we didn't just want to brainstorm, did we? We wanted to also tell people about what we've been up to.
Yes.
And our plans. We've been doing lots of things. So we've over the last year or so, we have turned the podcast into a big book, which is going to be out in October.
Yes.
Called Histories of the Unexpected, which is 30 different chapters. And I think we've talked about that in the past.
Mm-hmm. Let's go. Yeah, so 30 different chapters. Have you got the chapters there?
Have I got the chapters here? I think I do. If I go to my chapters,
here we are. Box. These are the things we discuss in our forthcoming book: the hand, the glove. So some of these we've done as podcasts, and some of them we haven't. And the book, we explore things in much more depth in a different way. The hand, the glove, the perfume, the bubble. That's my favourite one. Shadows, beards, clouds, dust, clocks, needlework, which I suspect is one of your favourite ones.
Yeah, I love that.
I love that too. The itch, holes, the bed, dreams, hair, the paperclip, the letter, boxes, courage, mountains, chimneys, tears, lions, rubbish, snow, cats, the smile, the scar, the lean. That's bonkers. You should all listen to the podcast on the lean. And the signature.
And the good thing about this, the clever thing about this is that the whole thing follows this sort of journey. So one chapter feeds into the next chapter, feeds into the next. And by the time you get to the signature, you then return back to
the hand at the beginning.
Where you start with.
So it's a circular journey. It's an unpredictable and unexpected circular journey through history.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're quite excited about this. It's going to be lavishly illustrated and available for purchase. But we are also...
We've just been choosing the pictures, which is always
a fun
stage in the history of any book. I love doing it. So you have to work out which ones you want to be in colour, which ones go into the text. You've got to work out which ones you actually are discussing in the text that are essential to the book. And then you have to trawl through the archives of the world, finding out who owns the copyright of
and
these
permissions
pictures.
And yeah, copyright.
That's
and,
less fun. Yeah. But it's been an enjoyable process. Which of those images is your favourite?
I like the holes one. Some of the holes one, the medieval manuscript with the little hole and the dragon behind it.
Okay, so yeah, these are holes in medieval manuscripts where the illuminator, the illustrator, the monk, whoever's writing it and or colouring it in, has doodled around the hole in the manuscript, revealing a bit of his personality.
But they're very varied, the illustrations. So we've got about 90, and they go from paintings and portraits that we've been describing to objects, a lot of posters.
I enjoyed the James Dean ones because that came into the history of
brilliant.
The lean, and we're physical men leaning and looking really cool because it's
exactly.
The opposite of the standing upright in the military. And there's the fabulous one of the young lady walking around with a book on her head.
Exactly.
They actually did that.
Yes. Deportment classes. So what we're doing is, as part of the book coming out, we're going to be doing some touring around. And what we thought was, rather than doing a sort of standard book reading, entertaining though they are, that we would do something a little more special. And so what we've done is we have transformed the book into a live show, a one-hour show. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I was working with a very good friend of mine and an extremely talented playwright called Daniel Jameson.
Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Dan. He's one of the UK's leading playwrights. He's absolutely fabulous and hugely imaginative. So I gave him our book, the chaotic, unexpected journey that it is. And so he's taken a number of subjects and we explore each of them with props and actions, and so it's a whole lot of doing as well as talking,
visuals and sound,
yeah,
and video.
It's going to be a feast for the senses.
It certainly is.
Very much looking forward to that. We're topping and tailing the details of the show right now,
so you should all come. And we've got a series of about 12 to 15 dates so far.
That's right. They'll be up on our website soon. And we've also been sorting our website.
Yes.
So this has been ongoing for a couple of years now, I think.
Do we have a web address? Are we announcing that?
Yes, we do.
We do. We certainly do. And our web address is historiesoftheunexpected.com.
Who would have guessed?
Surprisingly enough. And it's lovely. I love it.
Yeah. So it's got all of the episodes on which you can explore. It's got a bit of blurb about each episode. We've got all of the featured images, everything we discuss. We've got a little bit about our books, a little bit about our live shows. And coming soon is going to be an unexpected little online magazine,
yes,
where we're going to have mini articles about the things that we discuss.
Yes, and we have to thank our wonderful intern, Lee Jane Giles, who has been working with us over the last year, putting together these really clever introductions, so you'll get a chance to see all of those.
Yeah, and the magazine, it's not going to be, it's going to be more focused on the historical things we discuss, for example, the sources. So it'll
yes.
be about the book, it'll be about a shipwreck, it'll be about a painting.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to explore all of the content in a completely different way, much more focused on the actual objects that we discuss, not the theme that they feature in. So, for example, if we are discussing a 18th century painting showing some ladies itching, scratching their itches, removing lice from their hair, you'll be able to actually read all about the object that we discuss.
Yep.
There. So that is, it's going to be a slightly ongoing process as well. So bear with us, but we're going to get these magazine articles up as soon as we can.
Yep. Fleas.
Fleas.
I think we should do fleas.
Yes. There's some great stuff about dressing fleas up.
Yeah, it's brilliant. The Pitt Rivers Museum.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favourite museums. Mm-hmm. I was wandering around there recently and came across this tiny little flea that had been, well, I thought dressed up. I talked to my Victorianist colleague, the terrific James Gregory, who said that, in fact, he didn't think that they were actually real clothes, but possibly painted. Nonetheless, this sort of Victorian curio of fleas, or performing fleas, so a flea circus.
Flea circus sounds
flea
good.
Flea circus, or, of course, it's about the plague, or John Donne's The Flea, or William Blake's Ghost of a Flea.
I'm becoming slightly obsessed with John Donne at the moment.
I
Yeah. Something I've come across through Unexpected. I obviously heard about John Donne, but I didn't know much about him. But I've been reading his poetry. It's just
fabulous. I have many a good friend who is a member of the John Donne Society.
Oh, okay.
I've in fact written on Donne.
I've
written on Donne's letters. Yes.
Pathways, James.
Pathways.
I want to do paths.
Paths.
Because I've always been slightly obsessed roads. About the Southwest Coast Path.
Oh, yes.
Particularly, that's all to do with customs and trying to run away from.
I've been reading McFarlane's book about Old Ways. Isn't it Old Ways?
Yes,
which is all about. I mean, it's the most extraordinary book. Different sort of paths, different surfaces.
Yeah.
And the sort of incredibly complex history that goes along with that. Whips.
Whips?
Whips.
Mm, that's good.
So whips is about torture. We've talked about whipped Peter in the past.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. We could talk about flagellation.
It's all about exercise as well. So the Chinese have these whips with a heavy and huge bull whips, right? They must be 15 feet long. And,
nice.
And men, it's a male activity, stand in parks in a kind of Indiana Jones way, wielding these things around their heads and cracking them. So if you walk around a Chinese park, you have this amazing soundscape of whip cracks going off all the time. They're really noisy.
Oh my God.
I really want to have a go with one of them. But they do it as an exercise. So, you know, they strip down big, strong guys. Well, I wonder what the history of that is. No idea.
I wonder. We need to investigate. The kiss.
Ooh, that's a lovely
kiss.
One.
Okay. Kiss is about love. It's about affection. But it's also about power. Mm. It's about, you know, kissing the ring.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
All good.
Beaches, I'd like to do. Caves.
Ooh, beaches, caves. Pottery. Curtains. Light. Moon.
Darkness.
Landscape.
Yeah.
Eggs. We've done eggs.
We've done eggs and really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed that.
Tables. Listen, knives.
We're going to leave you all
forks,
there.
Spoons.
He's going to keep going.
Thank
you all for
handkerchiefs.
Listening. Handkerchiefs. We do want to do hankies, definitely.
Yes.
If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on iTunes. All of this stuff is coming soon to your ears. Subscribe to the podcast and tell all your friends. We're on Twitter. Follow me at Dr. Sam Willis.
And you can follow me at James Daybell. And you can follow us on at Unexpected Pod. We are proud, truly proud, to be part of the excellent History Hit Network, home of Dan Snow's History Hit and other fantastic shows, but not quite as good as Unexpected.
So everyone, check out the website, historiesoftheunexpected.com. Look for the book and come and see us live.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.